What up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Lakers 82-16, and that's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. We are now in the new calendar year. That's right, 2024. Happy New Year. Take the S off. It's not Happy New Year's. It's Happy New Year. So I would just like to be thankful that the ones who made it over and are still living and breathing, I hope you all don't take it for granted. As I hope the Lakers do not take what Anthony Davis is doing for granted as well. But we have a lot to discuss. We'll talk about coaching, rotation, lineups, Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my. All that and a little bit more next. All right. Let's get right into it. New year. Same old Lakers. New year, new Lakers. Which do you prefer? Let's start at the, not at the top of the organization, but let's start at the top with the coaching. Darvin Ham. I've heard many variations of his name. Some I will not say, but I just want to ask, what is the fatuation with the maybe the lint in his pockets? His hands stay in his pockets. I constantly watch the sideline when they show him and his hands are in pockets. He's just standing there looking animated. The only time he takes his hands out of his pockets is to issue a challenge when LeBron James is upset when he fouled someone or thinks that he has not been treated fairly. But you know, all seriousness, there's a lot of rumors going on, just kind of talking about the team's growing discomfort with Darvin Ham. There's even been mentions of him and Austin Reeves, Ham and Austin Reeves not having, you know, the quite eye-to-eye level vision right now, not seeing eye-to-eye. Jared Vanderbilt said when he first came back from injury that he really didn't know his role. You look at them courting and trying to get Christian Wood to come to this team for months, for weeks, and then he goes with so many DNPs. You look at it, and after you've seen enough of Jackson Hayes, you're like, you know what? That Christian Wood guy might not be that bad. So Jackson Hayes, if he can learn to stop fouling, but Darvin kept going with him. Not only did he bench Austin, but when Austin went to the bench and kind of got his footing back together, and then D'Lo went on his slump, then he benched D'Lo. But instead of putting Austin back into the starting lineup, he puts Jared Vanderbilt along with Cam Reddish, Torian Prince. And my Lord, on this day, January the 5th, I ask, please, please God, can we just please get rid of this lineup to start the game? I mean, you might complain some other time during the game, but to start the game, we have started slow all season. And I get it. You didn't want Austin and D'Lo out there at the same time. All right, whatever. Torian Prince went through a slump. He didn't get benched because I guess you value his defense. But then, as soon as D'Lo goes through a slump, he gets benched. Okay. The guy with the valuable trade chip contract. Okay. I don't know. I get it, man. It's tough. We sit at home, we try to pretend like we know all the answers or we know what the coaches try and all these different things, but in our reality, we just really on the journey. I said when I was on the All Things Sports podcast, when I was talking to our NBA, my boy JR, go check him out. And We're sitting in a time now where it's really a journey. And it's a frustrating journey. I've watched these last several games and I could just tell when the fake comeback was coming. It was inevitable that it was gonna happen. And I hate to say it, but I'm looking at Darvin Ham. I'm looking at his rotations and his lineups. I feel like last year was a 3-guard lineup. You know, he just kept throwing 3 guards out there. Patrick Beverly, Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder, in all these variations of it, it always included 3 guards. Didn't understand. But this year, now it's like he wants to throw all the forwards and the wings out there. We have this big jumbo lineup, and then LeBron is going to have to be the point guard again. Those days are over for him to have to consistently be the one who, you know, initiates the offense. I thought that's what you got D'Lo for. That's what you went and got Russ for. That's what you got Dennis Schroeder for back at one time. You got these guys to, you know, limit the amount of usage that LeBron has to have on a game-in, game-out basis. And that has not came to fruition. We're still seeing that LeBron has to be that. Anthony Davis has been playing fine, playing great, but playing awesome. But he's not the type of big man who you can just get a ball and initiate the offense to. He's still a big who needs you to get him the ball so he can operate. Now, you know, it's only guys like Joker and Embiid, and, you know, and mainly more Joker, that you give him and he's the initiator of offense. His skill set leans toward that. And it's not AD. So when fans look at him and he has 17 points in the first quarter against Rudy Gobert and Towns and those terrible Twin Towers, then you look in the second half and you wonder, well, where's AD? Well, if you notice, they double AD. And he's not going to be able to get the same production. He got to kick it out. And then when you look like we did against the Miami Heat, and you're going to make 4 three-pointers, you shoot under 15% from the three-point line, it's a lot to be desired from this team. And before I get off of him, I'm not saying that he needs to be fired today, tomorrow. But the month of January will tell us all we need to know about Darvin Ham and his lineup and his rotation and if this team is going to buy in. Really, we just need to win. You need to win some games. You have Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant back tonight, January 5th. You just lost to the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. So I don't think we have any games that we look at and just say, oh, that's a definite win. I mean, let's not forget we lost to the Spurs when Anthony Davis sat out. So we're losing games. We're very average, one game below 500. That has the NBA world and the fans and the Laker haters on fire right now, which I think is, you know, it's about right. I think it should be some criticism. I'm not sitting here, you know, we had a lot of excuses. Last month was brutal. Road trips, back-to-backs, tough back-to-backs, like Oklahoma City, they're playing against the Timberwolves and stuff like that. This month of January, we have like one back-to-back. We have a lot of home games. And let's see if we can pile up some wins, get some type of cohesiveness, and move forward. And I'm going to move forward to this next segment, and we're going to have to talk about it. Yeah, we got to talk about trades, unfortunately. But fortunately, we don't have to wait much longer for something to really happen. We'll get to that next. All right, we are back. We'd like to thank you for tuning into the Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker Rated to 16, Falcon Run to find out. After you get finished checking me out, make sure you go check out my brother, JR, with the All Things Sports Podcast, where he covers a plethora of sports topics, and he covers the world of sports. So go ahead and check him out. He just, you know, had a rant about the bowl games and gave his perspective on MLB, the college world, as we are seeing with the college football playoffs, his NFL, his last NFL rankings, and his MVP discussions and the narrative around that. So go check out all that NBA talk as well. I'm pretty sure we'll be trying to get back together again since the NBA season. We'll probably be the only thing we have going here after the playoffs, the NFL playoffs kickoff. And maybe we'll try to sneak in some NFL playoff predictions, but I don't know. It just kind of seems how time permits, you know. We're busy men here. We're busy men, you know. But go check out All Things Sports Podcast. And before I dive into trade targets, trade talk, trade shenanigans, trade scenarios, which be limited. Also, I would like to push back on some of the criticism of Darvin Ham. People are now trying to break down, critiquing, and criticize the five-out system. You know, well, what happened to doing the four-out? You know, and all these different variations. But honestly, the offense looks terrible because no one moves. And I don't know if that's just not buy-in I don't know if it's just that we don't have enough shooting, which I think that might be obvious. But when we look at this team and we look at just any type of offense, it's normally a lot of high usage of Anthony Davis. It's depending on LeBron James making plays. Not much playmaking. Austin Reeves getting his own, you know, shot off of his creation of isolation. And that's about it. And the rest of the offense stinks. Okay. Torrey Pritchard hit a three every now and then, but not enough. You know, Cam Reddish, not enough. Vando, never. You know, it's kind of like this team, really, I still have confidence in this team. If it had to go win you a game, or was in a serious playoff situation, it would buckle down. Because if you watch them, and this is the last time I'm referencing, the last time I'm talking about it, the in-season tournament run. Guys play with a lot of energy. LeBron was playing, you know, better defense. But we can't ask these guys. And I feel like this is what Darvin Ham kills me. You want these guys to play high energy defense. But then on the offensive end, we struggle. When you don't see the ball go in the hoop, it tears you apart, man. It eventually gets to you. You're getting three stops and you're not scoring on any of the trips down. Or you score a bucket, they score a bucket. You get a fast break, you blow a layup, they get a three at the other end. You gamble on a steal, you don't get it, they get a layup at the other end. You know, all these things kind of build up and mount up. And I just knew that after that in-season tournament, the energy they put into it, we can't sustain that type of energy because it's November, December, now January. You have to be able to find a healthy medium of how you're going to display energy, how you're going to display skill, how you're going to display effort. Because there's no way that a team is going to be pedal to the metal, pushing the turbo button all the way down in December, into January, into February, and past the trade deadline. It's just not a formula for success. And I feel like Ham is really, really pushing that line. He's making me a little nervous because I don't like all the minutes that Anthony Davis has to play in a clogged up paint where he's, you know, diving to the hoop. And this is where I get a little nervous about the injury bug, because right now AD and LeBron have been relatively healthy, and the other guys are the ones hurt. You know, Vanderbilt didn't get started till late. Gabe Vincent's back out again and out for 6 to 8 weeks, probably more like 6 weeks now. So you're not going to see him for a while. Rui Hachimura just can't catch a break. He gets injured quite a few times. Cam Reddish is battling through soreness and whatnot. It's just a lot of the rotational guys who are all very limited, and most of them are only one-way players. You have this offensive grouping. I mean, D'Lo's hurt right now. D'Lo, offense. Austin, offense. You know, Rui, he's more offense with a little defense just because of his size. But then you got Cam and you got Vando, who are strictly defensive specialists. And then you have Torian Prince, who is very average at both, but he's one of our better shooters. It's very frustrating. Jackson Hayes, he's just a fouler. I don't know. Christian Wood, I don't know why Coach Ham and his team plays so much drop coverage when Christian Wood finally comes in the game, because that's the exact reason why he was not a good defender in Dallas. He is not a good drop coverage big guy. You know, when you get him in the game, utilize his size, utilize his length, and allow him to do that and get away from trying to be a rim-protecting big, which he's not. It's just frustrating watching this. Like the miscues, like when we were sitting pretty, you know, after that end season tournament, I'm just talking about the record, not that tournament. We were like, we had flaws. I was been saying we had flaws, but we're ahead of schedule. We're moving in the right direction. Ever since that happened, we have fallen back. We went on losing streaks. We've been on slumps. We've lost close games. We've gotten blown out. We figured out a way to lose every type of game. In that Miami Heat game, Miami did not play well, but they were a team who knew what they wanted to do. And even though the shots were not falling, because they should have blown us out too, but they were just bricking everything. First quarter, ugly. And I'm just looking at us. I'm looking at the Lakers. And then I text JR and I said, if we don't get this lead down before the beginning of the fourth, if like we had a 7-point deficit. And I said, if we go to the fourth quarter down by 7 points, the fake comeback alert is here. Because I call it a fake comeback is when we fight to get back into these games, but we don't have enough firepower to actually take the lead. So you're just constantly chasing your tail. As a fan, that it gives you this optimism of hope that we're getting it together. But being able to put all that energy into the defensive end, but none of it kind of leaks over into the offensive side of the ball, is an eyesore. It's hard to watch. I don't like seeing LeBron have to, you know, take tough jumpers and drive to the basket, get fouled and don't get them called or whatever. Anthony Davis has no space to work. It's just a mess. And I'm gonna come back and we're gonna talk about trades. Okay, I'm finally gonna talk about it. I tried to avoid it. I know I brought it up, but let's get back. We'll talk about trades next. All right, to close this thing out, Chill Bravado, Lake Red 216, The Grind. To close this thing out, let's talk about the trades, trade targets, rumors. And we'll start with Zach LaVine. People are, you know, clamoring for this. And I'm a guy, I'm just wanting to see what moves we're going to make. And I've went on off the record and said I don't want the Zach LaVine situation, but I do like Zach LaVine the player and the opportunity that you have with Zach LaVine. But the situation comes with injury history. The situation comes with contract length. So if you make the Zach LaVine trade, that's your big move, and you're going to be done with making many other moves after that, because you're going to have to dig into your depth and make this move happen. So it's really, that's really it. Like, that's the big move you're going to make. There's no other, you know, mid moves, major moves. That's your major move. Like, if you do that, you're banking on he's going to come in and he's going to score and cover a multitude of basketball sins. So I pause on that. But if it happens, I still am intrigued to see what it looks like. I've gotten to the point now where I don't try to guess what's going to happen, because the Lakers can come out of nowhere and make a Russell Westbrook trade that no one's seen coming. We didn't see Vando, D'Lo, and Beasley trade coming last year. So who knows if there's another trade in the work behind the scenes. But as of right now, Zach LaVine, who has no trade value that we're hearing of, you know, teams are going to pretty much try to, you know, buy low on him. Chicago, I think he's getting ready to rev back up to actually come back and play. So I think they're going to let him show, look, I'm not injured. Look, I'm here. I'm available. And maybe his trade value will have a slight bump. But I don't think it's going to change any team's mind, which I guess could be an advantage for if the Lakers are the only team want to do business. But you're still going to have to match the salary. So I know Zach can score the basketball. And I know JR was like, man, he gets buckets. You just need guys who get buckets. I agree. But what are the things, plural, that this team needs? Several things. Like, you need scoring. Guy, you know, you need a guy who can, you know, shot create, you know, play make. You need another big to go with Anthony Davis to help him protect the rim. You could use a point of, you know, attack perimeter defender to help balance out, you know, this Austin Reeves and D'Lo debacle. My thing is that you just need two-way players. Dorian Finney-Smith, Russell Neal. You just need two-way guys who make sense bringing in that might not necessarily be the prettiest moves, but it will help, you know, push this roster to a way that makes sense when you throw out lineups. Because you don't, like AD and LeBron show, you don't need much. You know, we just need some guys. You know, we need the bench not to have three guys with 0 points who played. Like, you can't have Cam Reddish score zero, Torian Prince score zero, Vando score four. And those guys when you start on the high. Like, you can't have that. Like, that's terrible. Can't have that. Alex Caruso's another name. You know, elite perimeter defender, perimeter guy, can hit, you know, capable to hit the shot. He understands his basketball IQ is very high. He understands when to cut. He knows what to do when he's in there. He's played with LeBron and AD. He's had success. He's getting a little older now. So, I mean, he's always kind of had a little nicked up injuries here and there. But I just feel like he's the guy you go try. DeMar DeRozan, playmaking, play shot creator type of guy. He's not the best playmaker, a elite shot creator. Not a floor spacer, but he can get a bucket. Don't know if you can close with him. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Andre Drummond, another guy for the Bulls. He's catching the trend here. A big body. We can try this again. Round two. We did it with Dennis Schroeder. We've done it before with others. You bring him back around and let's see how it works. Not a very big contract, so you can easily get to that. Big body, rebounder, still does what he does well. Another name that I was kind of surprised, but I get it. Nick Richards, the Charlotte Hornets, even though AD just baptized him a couple weeks ago when he dunked on him. Nick Richards is a guy I like to see as a big backup. Someone who can protect the rim at some capacity. DeJounte Murray. I like this trade way more than I like the Zach LaVine one. The contract's not as bad. He's younger. He's a two-way player. Better playmaker than you think, better scorer than he can, you know, than you think. Not a great floor spacer, but at this point, he does a lot, so many other things well. So I kind of like that. It's just so many different types of players. Like, these are not necessarily the guys you have to get, but those types. Oh, when you get those types, two-way players, guys who can contribute on both ends. And we don't have to worry about guys playing off these guys in the corner. It's just, it'll be a beautiful thing to get back to having an offense where you can really, really put pressure going downhill and kicking out to capable shooters and not just defensive specialists. I feel like we have a team that's made for the early 2000s or the 99 in the 2000s, if you will. How did we get here? I heard a R&B song say. Nobody's supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be sitting under 500. We had flaws all year, but we figured them out. And if Darvin Ham is the reason why the locker room is falling apart, then I think you got to give him the month of January. And if this thing doesn't pick up steam, his chair needs to heat up. Our in-season type of firing doesn't really work. If I see Doc Rivers come from behind that desk and that microphone and end up being the Lakers head coach, I'm going on an epic rant like I'm JR from the All Things Sports podcast. But I'm going to continue to stay chill. I'm confident that this journey will get some substance as we go on. Let's just hang on. I want you guys to relax. Laker fans, put your forks away. You know, the main lays, don't throw anything. But listen, I want you to treat this like it's just a comedian up on the stage. And if they're not funny, we throwing tomatoes, we booing, we calling the salmon out to sweep them away. But right now, I want you guys to calm down. Relax. Oh, yeah, just relax. Chill Bravado, the podcast, Laker 8216. I thank you for tuning in. I hope that we'll be meeting again after a win against Memphis with Ja. Let's see if we can humble those young men once again. Yeah, because we didn't humble the Pelicans. They remember what we did to them in that tournament thing. Oh, guys, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Talk to you guys next time. Hopefully after win, I have more positive news. Get back in the good graces of the win column. Golden State blew it against the Nuggets last night, so we still sit in the 10th spot. I talked all that trash about the Golden State Warriors. They actually got on a little roll, but they still have their flaws because they have scoring. I said that they're going to win some regular season games. The Lakers, we have flaws, but we can't score. So that goes to tell you what happens in this modern day NBA. Your team can be good or you can be better than the other team. But if you can't shoot it better than the other team, the three-point line will bail out some bad teams, some bad games. All you got to do is be able to flick it up there enough. We don't flick it up there enough, and we don't make it enough. But I'm done. That's it. Chill.